We'll be sharing a message today called Hidden in Life's Great Disappointments or Heaven-Sent Divine Appointments. So we'll be contrasting those two words, disappointments and divine appointments, and how God intersects them in our life. I posted this yesterday. Let me read it to you. Your enemies, both human and demonic, thought they had destroyed your identity and destiny by causing so much pain, brokenness, and disappointment in your life. But what they did not know was God is on your side. He's turning your pain into power, your heartbreak into a healing ministry for others. What looked like a great disappointment ended up being a life-changing divine appointment. We'll be reading from one of my favorite Bible figures. His name is Samson, and I like him because every time I read him, I feel better about myself. The Bible does not conceal the humanity, the brokenness, the sinfulness, the weakness of the people that lived in the Bible, because it's not their greatness that accomplished miracles in their life. It's God's greatness. And if God can use Samson, he can use you. If God could restore his life, he can restore yours. Judges chapter 14 will be our text. Please follow along with me. I'll read these 9 verses, then we'll talk about them. Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman of Timnah, a daughter of the Philistines. He went up and told his mother and father, saying, I've seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Therefore, go get her to be my wife. But his father and mother said to him, isn't there no woman among the choir at CFTN? Or the daughters of your brethren, or among all my people, that you should go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistine? But Samson persisted and said, go get her for me. She pleases me well. Verse 4, rocked my world. But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, that he, God, was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. And to his surprise, a young lion came roaring out against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat. Though he had nothing in his hand, no weapon, no sword, but he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. He went down and talked with the woman. She pleased Samson well. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion that he had thrown off the field. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hands and went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them and they ate. But he did not tell them where he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you that you loved us so much. You gave us 66 books, the canon of Scripture. It's living and powerful, inspired. Thank you for your word. We open the door of our tent to see the glistening manna on the ground, and we pick up today's daily bread. Anoint your servants, anoint your word, and anoint your people. Show the devil who's boss. Let miracles flood the hearts of those listening to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Love this story. Love the life of Samson. Samson came into the world by a miracle. My first point, God knows everything about us and has calculated into our heavenly calling and destiny, our human frailty, our sinfulness, and even our stupidity. I like that God knew that Michael Maiden would do some stupid things, but those things didn't intimidate him enough to not call me. And so God knew Samson was going to mess up. Samson is born to an older couple. They couldn't have children. They were barren, and the angel shows up and said, you're going to have a miracle son. He'll be a deliverer. He'll be a Nazarene. And the Nazarite vow was He would never shave his hair. He would never drink wine, and he would never touch anything dead. That's kind of a simple way of explaining this consecrated vow. And so as this older couple received this baby, the miracle baby, of course there would be kind of unusual atmospheres in that home because they were so grateful. Maybe they spoiled him a little bit, like the way Mary and I do our grandkids. Maybe they were so appreciative that little Samson got everything he asked for as a little boy growing up. His name means sunshine. His name means great joy. So here could we picture Samson having really a spoiled childhood, just happy. It's okay though. He's a miracle. And his parents assumed, and there would be some theological momentum in their thought process. They assumed that because Samson was born in a miracle, given to them directly from God, that God would surely have a miracle life for this man. And one day, Samson came in and began to disrupt everything. He said, "I've fallen in love." And they said, "Where is she?" "Oh, she's a Philistine, the arch enemies of Israel." And they were shocked. Of course, they disapproved. But he persisted. And so we understand the angst of the parents, the heartbreak. When you see someone make a mistake, especially an adult child and you're the parent, you're like, ah. When you love someone in your world and they're making a mistake, you're like, oh, wow. Man. But God was thinking 10 steps ahead on the chess table. And verse 4 says this, that this wasn't going to be the end of Samson's journey. This was to be the beginning of his destiny. A couple points. It's impossible for us to fathom the enormity of God's mercy and patience required for him to work with human beings. Have you ever lost your patience with somebody? Come on, some of you did. 5 minutes ago on the way to church. Whatever it was. Another driver. Hopefully not a person in the car. God has tolerated with unending mercy mankind for thousands of years. And so our God is so patient, so kind. Years ago, when Mary and I began our first church here, I think this would be 1986, something had happened and I was disappointed by it and Mary was hurt by it. Someone we had really poured into kind of abandoned the church and abandoned their walk with God for a season. And so I just wrote them off the list. And about a year later, the Lord spoke to me powerfully. He said, "Michael, Maiden, you give up on people too easily. You give up on people too easily." I hit my knees and started praying for that person. As God is my witness, as I was praying for them, the phone rang in the kitchen, this ancient device that hanged on the wall with a really long cord. I picked it up. It was that person coming back to God, coming back to us. And here's what I found out. God doesn't throw people away. Don't ever mistake your disappointment for God's disappointment. Okay? Someone may let you down, but we all let God down. He doesn't give up on us when we do. We must stop throwing people away simply because they disappoint us in some way. Amen? Revise your list and don't give up on people. Point number 2. Hidden in life's great disappointments are heaven-sent divine appointments. So here is Samson. He's fallen in love with the wrong person. I believe in life, the most important thing in life is Jesus. And what you believe about Jesus really defines your life. But I also believe that probably the second most important decision we make is who we marry. There is such a consequence in that arena for everything. So Samson is going to make a mistake and marry the wrong person. But verse 4 interrupts kind of our theological aggression to really shame or condemn Samson, because verse 4 says God knew it. God even wanted it because God was ready to do something. His mom and dad are disappointed, but they did not know that it was of the Lord, for the Lord was looking for an occasion. It's the Hebrew word occasion to honor. It means to pick a fight. Here's the real translation. For the Lord was ready to pick a fight. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion. Dominion means to walk on someone. To mistreat them so violently, so badly that they're treated like trash. And so the Philistines are mistreating, oppressing Israel. And God's ready to fight. And he's going to use Samson's blunder to unlock heaven's breakthrough. It's really important that we stop telling God how to be God. Telling him who he can't use, what he can't do, both in our own hearts and our expectation for our life and others. So Samson would have some issues. So what happens? He marries the girl. They have a fight. He leaves her for a while. The girl's father misinterpreted Samson's behavior. When Samson left, he thought that, Samson's entitled and spoiled. He'd be kind of a hard guy, especially at the beginning of the marriage. He leaves. The father gives Samson's wife to Samson's best friend. So Samson comes back and his wife's been remarried to someone else. He gets upset and releases a kind of minor judgment against that region. The people of that region get so mad, they brutally murder his wife and that family. Samson's ministry began by going through as much trauma as a human being can go through. His heart broken, his wife murdered, his best friend betraying him. And out of all of that pain, God says, I'm ready to do something great. I'm going to use that. There's nothing in your world so bad, so broken, so messy, so traumatic, God can't put his hands on it and do something good with it. Nothing. Joseph, the patriarch, said at the end of his life in Genesis 50:20, he's looking at his family now. He became the leader of his family, supplanting the death of Jacob, his father, and he said, he's looking now at all of his brothers and all of their families, and at the end of his life, he said, you meant evil against me. The word meant means to weave. It means to imagine, to purpose. You conspired and weaved and purposed evil against me. But here's what he said. But God meant it for good. God took your mess and gave me a ministry. God took your betrayal and gave me favor with to be prime minister of Egypt. The Lord took what you meant for evil and turned it for good. One of my favorite scriptures, it really is my life scripture, and that is chapter 8 of Romans, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to those that love God, called by his purpose. And in the midst of this amazing chapter is this high point verse for me, when God says, all things include bad things, hurtful things, heartbreaking things. God will take anything you've been through. Nothing you've been through will be wasted. Nothing you've been through will be in vain. God puts his hand on that thing and makes good come out of it. I like to say it this way. If it ain't good yet, it just means God's not done yet. If it's not good yet, just give God time. It's not over till God says it's good. He creates the universe and all created things in Genesis 1. He steps back and says, it's good. God's going to say it's good in your story. He's not done. He's still writing the script. He's still finishing the chapter. He's still accomplishing his purpose in your life. Don't give up, my friend. Don't give up. Don't quit. I used to say, don't quit before the fat angel sings. Don't quit before God writes a good ending to your story. When he makes bad things turn out to be good things. And Samson, whose heart was broken in the worst possible way, whose own mistake would have seemed to disqualify him, actually empowered him for his destiny. For 20 years, Samson judged the Philistines, conquered them left and right. And finally, in one great blaze, killed 3,000 princes of the Philistine Empire by tearing down their temple. Samson was a miracle man, but he also was a person that didn't become paralyzed by life's disappointments. Don't let life take you out of the game. Don't let life's heartache disqualify you from going forward for what God has for your life. The feeling of disappointment comes from the conclusion our minds have made about something we've been through. We become disappointed, but it's always so important that we have in the conversation, our internal conversation, the promises of God, that He can work it for good. Elbow someone and say, don't give up. Don't give up. Here's Samson, our hero. Here's Samson, who had issues, man. He had issues, and later on he has moral failings. God kept using him. He's a prototype for people to know this. Stop telling God He can't use you because of something you did wrong. Y'all with me? Yeah, the front row is at least. Point number three. God is always ready for every surprise attack the enemy will ever unleash against you. Samson's so in love. He's floating on a cloud. He's singing a song. He's walking down the road. I'm in love. I found the woman. He's writing love songs. All you need is love, love, love. And he's floating down the road. And he wasn't in a warfare mindset. And to his surprise, everybody say surprise. A vicious lion jumped out against him and roared against him. And the moment the lion roared, an anointing from God began to pour through him. And the Spirit of God came mightily upon Samson so that he fought that lion and tore it to pieces like it was nothing. Supernatural strength. I don't think Samson had huge biceps. He had a huge anointing. And the anointing, when it came upon him, gave him supernatural strength. And he tore apart that lion and threw it off the road. Didn't even tell anybody. Man, if that's me, I'm writing a book the next day. I am a lion killer. My bare hands tore it apart. I'd be on TBN. Lion killer. On my social media, me and the lion. Samson doesn't tell anybody, just goes about his business. Like it's normal. Can you imagine walking the supernatural? That's things we celebrate for their uniqueness become so normal, we expect them to happen. We're heading there. I believe we're heading there. Isaiah 59 says this, when the enemy comes in like a flood. I've been there. Anybody been there, felt like you've been in an overwhelming season? Like your main goal was to not drown? You know, I'm glad we're singing songs about overcoming. I'm just trying not to drown. That's how I taught Matt to swim. Don't drown. Kick, use your hands. I think it has some traumatic, please forgive me. I think it has some kind of traumatic effect on him. When the enemy comes in like a flood, what happens? In that moment, the Lord raises up a standard and puts the enemy to flight. Wow. The devil's evil. He doesn't play fair. He'll do things out of the blue. But God doesn't want us afraid of what's about to happen. We can't live in a constant fearfulness. What's going to go wrong today? That's why I stopped watching the news last year. Because even if there wasn't bad news, they just make up crap. I'm sorry, they just make up stuff. Man, I'm trying to make it through a Sunday without cussing. We don't want our expectation about what bad things about to happen.
We want our expectation. What's God about to do? What's God? Come on. Even in your family. Come on, stop writing off that family member that married the wrong person. You think they did. They might have, but now it's the moment they married them, that's the right person. But my point is this, don't give up on people because you're disappointed. The church, we have to stop throwing people away. We're not good about this entirely in an overall scale. Sometimes we're actually bad about this. The Bible says this in Psalm 46, our God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. The giant you're facing today isn't meant to destroy you. It's meant to awaken the David inside of you. You're coming out of the storm stronger than you went into it. This is a great story. I'll close with this scripture in Acts chapter 28. In Acts chapter 28, Paul is heading toward to him as important as an assignment as anything he ever done. He's heading to Rome to minister to Caesar. So part of his anointing, in fact, Jesus himself said, I called you to be a light to the Gentiles and to kings. So wherever Paul went, he always looked for people in authority. There's really kingdom strategic thinking in that. But he's heading to Rome. It's God's will. But even though he's in the center of God's will, he faces a life-threatening storm. And the storm is so violent, they're eventually shipwrecked. And that's where we begin in chapter 28 of the book of Acts. When they had escaped. If you've been through a hurricane that's lasted a couple of weeks, in fact, Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, says you couldn't tell the difference between night or day for weeks. Come on, that's a bummer. I don't like it when there's a couple bumps on my flight. Send the angels, Lord. Imagine weeks with no sunlight. And they're so discouraged, their cargo's thrown overboard. They're about to throw the prisoners overboard, and the centurion stops them for Paul's sake. They shipwrecked, and Paul said, no one's going to die. God promised me that no one would die. I heard from God. Howbeit, we will be shipwrecked on a certain island. Paul prophesied what would happen. Here they are. And when they had escaped, they found out that the island that they shipwrecked on was called Malta. Malta means burning with honey, rivers of honey. So here they are on Malta. It means flowing with honey. And the honey's not flowing. When it's pouring rain, you're shipwrecked and you're just barely alive. But the natives there showed us unusual kindness, for they started a fire, made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling, because it was very cold. But when Paul was gathering a bundle of sticks and laid them into the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the natives of the island saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. But Paul shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he must be a god. That's quite a day when you begin as a murderer and end as a god. It shows you the fickleness of human opinion. It shows you the danger of social media. But in this story, Paul's in the center of God's will and has a life-threatening moment. Now, he had survived a weeks-long hurricane, then they're shipwrecked. That's a tough little transition. And now he's snake bit. Storm, shipwreck, snake bit. What does he do? He shakes it off like it's nothing. Get back in there, you filthy thing. And everybody looks at him. This dude, the ocean couldn't kill him. Now the land god, justice, will kill him. Never misinterpret someone's adversity as God's personal judgment against them. Amen. Because someday, when things might go wrong in your world, you don't want everyone thinking that about you. Sometimes the worst things happen to the best people because we live in a broken, fallen, sinful world, and because the devil's a ravenous lion beast. So here they are, and he shakes off the snake and suffered no harm. No harm. People watch you. I like it when God stops things from happening to me. That's my favorite thing. What happened? The Lord stopped it from happening. It's not as fun when the Lord let it happen. But people watch you when you're going through it because they can imagine themselves going through it. I don't like the guy that comes on TV who's never been overweight. Says, you want to be like me? I said, no, you're a jerk. Most of us have issues. I like the guy who comes on TV big. Says, I worked out. And then later, I look like this. I like the before and after. Because I can relate to one of those things. And my point is this, the Bible gives us both pictures. So we don't think everybody just walked on water. Paul has had a miserable day. Come on, if that's me, shipwrecked, storm driven, snake bit, I write my next country western album. Calling it that, shipwrecked, snake bit. I think we were in Las Vegas and Betty Prince had taken us to a restaurant or somewhere and this song came on. It said, God is good. Beer is good. God is great. Beer is good and people are crazy. I thought, that's pretty deep. That's pretty deep. Except for the beer part. You're coming out of this storm. So what happens to Paul? Paul is elevated by his tribulation, by his adversity. They wouldn't have listened to him because he was a preacher. But everybody listens to him because he didn't die. Snake bit. He heals. He prays for the father of Publius. We almost named you that man. We talked about it. Publius. And Publius is healed. The whole island comes to him, all those that were sick. And every single person that was sick in Malta got healed. I think we can infer every lost person got saved. Now here's my point. Malta means flowing with honey. The honey didn't flow until Paul overcame that satanic blow. And when the enemy tried to kill him, when Paul didn't give up and shook it off. See, sometimes it's not the physical poison, it's the mental poison. It's the emotional poison that gets into your system and tries to take you out. The story, Samson, he's in love and he visits his fiance, comes back. And he stops and he sees some days, probably weeks later, the carcass of the lion that he had discarded. There it is, same place. Except bees had made a beehive in it. And it was filled with honey. And he reached in his arms into now the rotting bones of something he defeated and brought out the sweetest thing on earth, natural honey. And he tasted it. There's nothing like the honey that comes out of the lions you kill. There's nothing like the sweetness of a testimony that comes out of the worst thing the devil threw at you. And he took some and gave some to mom and dad. And they said, this is so good. So good. The Lord will take the worst thing you've been through. And by the end of that story, it'll be dripping with honey. Handfuls of honey. Pastor Maiden, I want an anointing like you. No. Go some other route. I don't know how you get yours. I got mine through some unusual moments. And the honey of your life, the sweetness of Christ, revealed by the things you refuse to let conquer you, the things you refuse to let defeat you, the things you refuse to let define you. Handfuls of honey. He's walking down the road, his beard dripping. He's having a grand old time. Why? He conquered the thing the devil thought would conquer him. Hey, thanks for listening to me today. Would you stand your feet? Prayer team, join me down front. I believe there's a new and greater anointing awakening in your story. And that you're going to emerge this year with an anointing, a grace, a testimony, a revelation, a depth in your walk with God you've never had before. And what the enemy meant for evil, your loving God's turning for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Come on. He takes what the enemy meant for evil. Whatever it is, whatever the devil's throwing at you and your family, I'm sorry you're going through this, but it's not over. It's not over. God's not done. Heaven's not finished. Let God show off in your story by what he does next. I believe the best is yet to come in your life. And I believe you're going to have a testimony that people can hardly believe. And you're going to encourage people. And the devil thought he would so hurt you with disappointment, but God says, no, it's a divine appointment. Lord, I thank you today. Lift the burden of those that have come in heavy. Heal the hearts and minds that are those that have been discouraged, disappointed, or depressed. Heal every physical body that's been hurting. Save every person that doesn't know you yet. I pray in Jesus' name, as we close this service, we always have an open altar call because we believe that Jesus heals, Jesus saves, Jesus encourages, Jesus delivers. And if you've never given your heart to Christ, if you've never received from God the great gift of forgiveness of sins, the Bible says that God so loved the Father, so loved the world, he gave us his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in Jesus would not perish, but have everlasting life. Today's your coming to Jesus day. Don't miss it. God's tugging on your heart. Love's pulling on you. God's reaching out to you. If you've been away from God, man, make this your coming back day. If you've been through a hard, hellish, difficult week, today we're gonna give the devil a black eye and tell him, you can't have my life, my future. You can't have who I am called to be. If you need a physical healing, we believe that by his stripes we're healed. We talked about that. And lastly, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, accompanied with the scriptural evidence of praying in heavenly languages. We'd be honored to pray for you for any of those reasons. If you need prayer, would you please join us down front? Just for 90 seconds more, church, would you worship the Lord while those seeking prayer make their way forward? Yeah.